My brothers and sisters in Christ, Advent is the beginning of the church year, but you will have noticed that the readings speak of the ending of things, the ending of our world as we know it. And from the beginning, the Christian movement, our people, have believed that Jesus Christ will return to us. Not in humility, like the first time, which we will recall at Christmas, but in glory. And we find that faith reflected in St. Paul's prayer in the second reading, which is really the oldest letter of Paul and the oldest piece of the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. He prays that God might strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Whole crowd's going to show up, all the saints. Jesus himself says, and we heard in the gospel, that after all the troubles on earth and disturbances in the sky, people shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That was traditional imagery for the Messiah's coming, and we will say in the creed shortly, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. But do we Christians today actually believe that Christ will return? What we consider a delay in Christ's fulfillment of his promise about his second coming is an issue that actually is dealt with in some of the late New Testament works. St. Peter, in his second letter, it's from around the end of the first century AD, says, "Do not ignore this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, in some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So St. Peter warns us not to measure Christ's second coming by human standards of time. Remember that God had promised Israel a Messiah, a Savior, many hundreds of years before Jesus was born. He waited until the timing was right. God's ways and his timing are different from ours. When St. Peter objected to Jesus saying that the Messiah must suffer and die and then rise from the dead, the Lord rebuked him and told him he was thinking as human beings do, not as God does. For the Father knew that his Son's death on the cross would be a far more convincing sign of God's love for sinful human beings than would be a triumphant entrance into Jerusalem to drive out the Romans. So the Lord knows the timing that is best for his return in glory. And you notice Peter offers another reason to explain why Christ is not returned immediately. Okay, this is only after two or three generations of Christians, right? He says God is giving sinners time to repent and to turn back to him. Having heard deathbed confessions, I can assure you that those who were about to die appreciated God's patience with them. He is showing that same patience toward the whole human race. The same Jesus Christ who said that we would not know the day or the hour of his return also, just before ascending to heaven, gave his disciples the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, his apostles had no idea of how big the earth was or how many peoples inhabited it. You know, there are still peoples on earth who have only recently heard the gospel. In a pastoral planning course I took in Bogota, Colombia, 1986, there were some religious sisters who were bringing the gospel to an indigenous tribe in southeastern Venezuela. The elders of the tribe had heard something about Christ, and they sent a delegation to the local bishop and asked if he could send some people to tell them about Jesus. The bishop wisely said, "I know who to send. Send down these good religious sisters." I read a book by a Franciscan missionary, an American, himself part Native American, who was evangelizing a tribe in the Amazon area of Peru in the 1990s. It is taking time to carry out the mission of Christ, the mission he gave us, to proclaim him as Lord and Savior to the whole world. God knew when he gave that commission that it would take time, even if Jesus' apostles didn't know it. I think also that that long timeline from our human perspective between Christ's promise to return to us and his actual coming gives us time for two other important developments. First, it allows God to show that his saving power is real and becomes evident even in weak, humble human beings. Jean Jugin, in mid-19th century France, took pity on a sick and elderly woman, letting the old woman stay in her home and sleep in her bed. Then came another, then several more. Some women of the little town came to help Jean. At length, Jean Jugin founded the Little Sisters of the Poor, who today take care of the aged poor in homes throughout the world. God showed in Saint Jean Jugin the good that he can do through very ordinary people. Secondly, God gives us time to learn to love. He gives us time to learn to love. We either learn to love here on earth, or we wither in self-isolation and selfishness, frustrating God's purpose in creating us. St. John the Apostle is a good example of a person who grew in love. He wanted Jesus to call down fire from heaven when a Samaritan village would not let Jesus pass through because he was on his way to Jerusalem, the capital of the Jews, and the Samaritans hated Jews as much as the Jews hated Samaritans. It's for good reason that John and his brother James are called the sons of thunder. They were hard crackers, huh? But after the Lord's death and resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit, John, accompanied by Peter, went down to a Samaritan village that had heard the gospel through the deacon Philip and prayed over them to receive the Holy Spirit. And they did receive the Spirit. And if you've read any part of John's first letter, he wrote not just the gospel, he wrote three letters. The first one is the most extensive. And in that letter, John exhorts us all to love one another, not just in words, but in deeds. So to sum up, belief in Christ's promise to return to us in glory is an integral part of Christian faith. He keeps his promises. He will come back. I have tried to explain why returning quickly would not have respected God's reasons for sending us a Savior in the first place. But while we await his return, we know that unless we are alive on that day, we will die first and then personally meet the Lord. It behooves us to heed his words. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man. Living our faith in Christ each day and observing the commandments he has given us is the way to be ready for the Lord, whether in death or when our eyes behold his glory.